passage where Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. The woman who reached out to the hem of Jesus' garment. And we're going to have a look at when he raised a girl from the dead. What can we learn from these miracles? Let's have a look at this Bible verse on the screen here. In Romans 8 verse 11, the Bible says, "And the same Spirit, and if the same Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." We must remember that Jesus was the Son of God, but at the same time, he was 100% God. At the same time, he was 100% man. He had the same temptations that we are tempted with. He had the same, the devil came and tried to lead, you know, speak into his mind and say, "Oh, you can't do this," or "You shouldn't do that," or "You should do this," you know. He had the same struggles in that sense with the flesh that we do. But the Holy Spirit that helped Jesus do his miracles, the same Holy Spirit is in us. So whatever we see Jesus do in the Scriptures, that same Holy Spirit is calling us to go and do the same stuff that Jesus did, and even greater things, the Bible says. More things. So let's believe as we read these passages today, let's think, are we living a miraculous lifestyle? Are we living in the supernatural? Are we stepping out and doing the amazing things that Jesus did? C.S. Lewis said this, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight." I read that and I thought, wow, that's heavy stuff. C.S. Lewis, of course, the guy that wrote The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe in the Narnia series, was a famous atheist. And then through J.R. Tolkien, the guy who wrote Lord of the Rings, they started meeting together at Oxford University, and they would have this group called the Inklings. These creative Christian guys would get together, and through that relationship, C.S. Lewis came to know Christ and became one of the best authors Christendom's ever seen. And when he writes about a subject, I listen, because you know, I just think he's one of the best Christian thinkers that we've ever had. And so he's throwing out the challenge here, saying, you know, there's two camps we can fall into with devils. Either believe they don't exist, and you can apply this to the supernatural, full stop. Or to believe but have an excessive and unhealthy interest in devils. We're going to have a look at this passage here about how Jesus handled a situation where there was a guy full of demons. What did Jesus do? It's an amazing story, this one. So we're looking at Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And I think, for me, it's a little easier to act these things out a little bit. So I might just ask Tim if you can come out for me here. Oscar, you come out. Maybe Eden and Brad. Just need four of you guys to come out, just over here on the side of the stage. Let's give them a hand as they come up. Good-looking young actors. Now, this is going to be tough trying to decide who's who in this one. Because Oscar is a great man of God, and I know he won't feel any condemnation over here, you can be the man possessed by demons at the start of this, okay? But don't worry, you get set free at the end. It's all right, okay? Okay. So you can be him. Eden, you can be Jesus in this one, okay? Is that all right? It's a big task, but don't get a Messiah complex, mate. But you'll be right, okay? And then you guys are the extras. And we'll just have to see what happens in this script here, who you have to be. But anyway, okay. So they went across the lake of the Gerasenes. So Jesus and the disciples are going across the lake. And then Jesus got out of the boat. So Jesus come over here, hops out of the boat. Very good. Excellent. That's brilliant acting. That's good, mate. It's good. And then a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Now, how do you think he would have acted? Yeah? Like Michael Jackson's Thriller video clip? Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. The cross, there you go. It's a bit early, actually. The cross comes a bit later. Okay. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So he had supernatural strength. And all right, okay. Can you do a bit of spit coming out? No, sorry, no. You could just imagine foaming at the mouth, crazy. Okay, that's good. Just calm down. It's all right. We're in church, remember. Behave yourself. All right. For he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Now, that's a pretty demon-possessed man. That's pretty bad. Night and day among the tombs and the hills, they would hear him cry out, and he'd cut himself with stones. And crying out.
Okay.
When Jesus saw him from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice,
"Jesus!"
Hang on. I'm the narrator here. Just calm down. Right. "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God?" So isn't this interesting? This is a crazy man who actually, without a word, knew that he was the Son of the Most High God. Not just a teacher, not just a healer, not just a prophet. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. So the demons knew who he was, right? "In God's name, don't torture me." So they're freaking out because they know he has authority, he has power. "For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?'"
What is your name?
He said, not Oscar, no. We're acting, remember? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. It's interesting. They didn't want to be sent out of the area. Okay. Maybe he didn't want to be sent out of the area because they were having a lot of success in that area. Maybe that they were really causing a lot of trouble and they didn't want to leave that region. That's an interesting thought about how demons operate. Anyway, a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. There's only two other actors left, so can you guys just come over here and act like pigs for me if you could, just on your knee? Thank you. Very good, okay. So here comes the pigs. Didn't think you'd be doing this at church today, did you boys, eh? Okay. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." And Jesus gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out of the man and went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Yeah, that's the bank over there, boys, yeah. And were drowned. Oh, that's it. Let's give them a hand. Isn't that fantastic? Thank you, boys. Hope you're coming. Award-winning acting, I tell you what. Logie Award-winning acting. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what happened. So you can just imagine if that literally happened in Brisbane, for example, everyone would want to come and see what's going on. You know, 2,000 pigs thrown into the ocean. Now, just think about it. That's someone's livelihood. These pig farmers, that was how they made their living. Now, we don't know, it doesn't say in the text here whether they're Jewish or whether they're Gentile. If they were Jewish, you know, pigs are an unclean animal. They're not kosher, you know, so maybe it could have been a statement of Jesus saying, oh, you know, those pigs, you know, you should, anyway. But we don't know what they are. I did a little bit of research on it, couldn't really find much more into the details there. But it's very interesting. When they came, as Jesus was getting into the boat, okay, sorry, I'll just step back there. So verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. So I was just joking before getting Oscar to, you know, have some dribble out of his mouth. But we've probably all seen people that have absolutely lost it. This guy would have been the worst of the worst of those. Chained up, out of his mind, running around the tomb screaming, naked, absolutely, you know, like a werewolf. He would have been absolutely, he would have been bonkers. He would have completely lost it. And after Jesus steps in, this is what the Bible says. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed sitting there dressed and in his right mind. Amen. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Wouldn't you think you'd want Jesus around after doing something like that? This guy's finally got set free. But they were afraid. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go to your own people and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. That is the power of the gospel. I just love that. You know, one of our pillars here at church, our first pillar there, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to see lives transformed. Brisbane, Australia and the world. You know, I've been preaching the gospel for many years and seen lots of people come to Christ, put their hand up at an altar call, come to church for a few weeks, maybe get baptized, but then the worries of the world come up, the devil comes in, deception comes in, some problem happens and then they backslide and they turn away from God, and you think, were they really transformed? Were they really set free? And of course, that's where our mandate as a church is, to make disciples. We're not here to make decisions, we're here to make disciples, amen? That's why we're running a mega course on Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock if you want to come. Blokes and Inspire and Omega are all on Tuesday night. It's our discipleship night where we make disciples. Here on a Sunday morning, you can do a little bit of discipleship teaching. But really, in those small groups, that's where we want to make disciples. Because we want to see people's lives transformed for good. Now that demoniac, that is a transformation. And Jesus said, don't come with me. Go and tell everyone what the Lord has done for you. Go and tell them the mercy that the Lord showed you. That's what we're commanded to do as well. We're commanded to go and tell people, Jesus saved me of my sin. Jesus healed me of this sickness. Jesus provided this for me. Jesus spoke to me. Jesus gave me this job. Jesus has done this. Jesus has done this. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things that I've taught you. We're not just called to tell people, you've got to believe in Jesus so you don't go to hell, give your life to Jesus. We're not just called to tell them John 3:16. We're called to tell them all the things that Jesus has done for us, all the things that he's taught us about finances, about health, about family, about caring for the poor, everything that Jesus has taught us. We're called to be teachers of that, to tell other people. You know, I think it's amazing the power of transformation. And no matter how bad things are, like that little story I shared before about dancing with grace in church and how sometimes we'll fall but he'll catch us, you know. I think we've got to always remember that when we're telling people about Jesus, when we're telling them the good news, it's not all up to us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak at the time, doesn't it? He'll give us a testimony or a scripture or a word of knowledge or something to go and share with the people that he's called us to share to. And you've got to realize, you know, if I was wanting to share, if Lydia was, I needed to witness to Lydia and share something with her, you've got to realize that it's not just me. God wants to reach her. God has a heart for her. God has been chasing her to touch and speak to her heart as well. When we've got the God of all creation on our side, doesn't it give you a bit more boldness? And realize, you know what, maybe I should have a crack at sharing with this person. You know what I mean? Because God's going to help me do it. Amen? I heard a great story this week about a man who was in the Vietnam War. He was an American soldier who had been locked up in prison in Vietnam. And he had been beaten, he had been whipped, he had been tortured, and he was fed all this communist propaganda from this little Vietnamese prison. And all this stuff from Karl Marx and all this stuff. And they tried to get him to renounce God. And week after week after week, he would say, "No, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in God." But they wore him away by attrition. They just kept attacking him. And eventually, he just couldn't hack it anymore. And he said, "All right, I'm going to renounce God. I'm going to run away from God. I'm going to turn away from God." And he was so... He said he felt empty and terrible. He didn't sleep that night. He just felt horrible. The next morning, he woke up and he decided not to pray for the first time in his whole life, because he'd renounced God and he didn't want to suffer the persecution anymore. Anyway, the prison guard came in and said, "All right, you're on the latrines today. First time that he'd been in the prison the whole time, they'd sent him out to go and clean the toilets. And it was filthy and disgusting and the grossest thing you could imagine. Anyway, as he went in there, he had to clean out some of the paper and take it out somewhere. And he noticed something that was in English. And without looking at it, he just folded it up quickly and put it in his pocket and hid it from the guard. Did his job, did the rest of it. Got back into the prison cell, pulled out the piece of paper, unfolded it, cleaned it a bit. And it said Romans 8. It was a page of the Bible. He hadn't read the Bible for years since he'd been in this prison. He had finally renounced God the night before. And what was the verse that he read? Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. And it turned out that the prison guard had been given a Bible from some Christian missionary in Vietnam years before, and he was using pages of it every day in the toilet for toilet paper. And in the midst of that hellhole, God was pursuing him. And every day he was on toilet duty, he'd get a different page of the Bible. Every day. Ended up having the whole book of Romans. Probably a bit dirtier than our Bibles, but still he got to read the Word of God in that hellhole in the midst of that. Because you've got to realize, God is pursuing every person on this planet. God has a plan that none of us perish, but all of us come to repentance, the Bible says in the book of Peter. Just like that demoniac, just like that man that was out there, no one could help him. But when Jesus came, Jesus set him free, transformed his life. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this next passage in verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat on the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touched his clothes, I'd be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." There's a well-known song by Christian artist Nicole C. Mullen called One Touch. The words say, "Been ostracized for 12 years. I'm used to being alone. Spent everything I had and now it's gone. I'm used to being put down. My issues tell it all. My only hope is anchored in this fall. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. If I could just press my way through this madness, his love would heal my soul, if only one touch." So many people calling, how could he ever know that just a brush of him would stop the flow? If he knew, would he rebuke me or shame me to the crowd? Well, I'm desperate, because it's never or it's now. Suddenly he turned around. He said, somebody's unleashed my power. Well, frightened and embarrassed, I bowed. And see, I told him of all my troubles and how I had to touch the hem of his garment. And I know I've been made whole. And how I'd pressed my way through the madness and his love has healed my soul. Then with one word, he touched the hem of my garment. And you know I've been made whole. And somehow he pressed his way through my madness and his love has healed my soul. I tell you, he touched me. He reached way down and he touched me, when no one else would touch me. Jesus shouldn't have touched me. And I know I've been made whole. You know, in the Jewish custom of the day, to touch a woman who was bleeding in that circumstance was unclean. It was a no-no. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, if they knew what was happening, they would have also said, oh, you're breaking the law, you can't do that. But Jesus' law of love is far greater than any other law, isn't it? Amen? And that woman was healed by just one touch. There's a favorite worship song of mine by David Ruiz called No Other Love, and the words say, and if I'm healed by just one touch of your garment, Lord, then how much more of your love is for me than I'm tasting, Lord? Draw me, take me, and I will run. Over the mountains, down into the valleys, I will run with you. How do you respond to Jesus in a crisis? You may have been bleeding for 12 years like the woman. You may have been going through a marriage struggle, a financial struggle, a health struggle. You may have been going through some tough time. We need to learn the lesson from this woman. She pushed through the madness. She pushed through the crowd and she reached out to touch the hem of his garment and she was healed. Friends, that is the heart that God is looking for. A broken heart and a contrite spirit he is yet to deny, it says in the Psalms. God is looking for people who are hungry and thirsty to reach out to him. We had an evangelist, Jim Drown, many years ago preach here, and he's seen a great move of God in different nations of the earth. And he said, we will see revival in Australia one day. It's coming soon. But there's one key that the church in Australia needs to get. We've got to be hungry. We've got to be desperate. We've got to be thirsty. We've got to be like that woman who will run after him in the midst of the crowd, knowing that she was unclean, knowing that she was breaking the laws of the day, knowing that Jesus had, he was on his way to do another miracle. All his disciples around. She reached through and she touched the hem of his garment because she was desperate. That's what the church in Australia needs to get a revelation of. Are we willing to reach out and grab him? In our worship, in our prayer, in our giving, in our missions, in our calling, in our workplace, in every part of our life. He's looking for people who will reach out. Sadly, I think many people in the church are like the rest of the crowd would have been that day. There were lots of people around Jesus that never got healed. I wonder how many other people could have been healed that day if they had had the faith of that woman to run after him. How many of us know that God has something for us, but we just sit? We just sit in front of the TV every night. We just sit in front of our computer all day. We just go off and do our own worldly thing, our own way. God has so much more for us. This song says, if I'm healed by just one touch of your garment, Lord, how much more of your love for me than I'm tasting, Lord? How much more could we reach out and grab if we had the same faith as that woman? Let's be a people full of faith. Let's be hungry. Let's be desperate to reach out and grab the hem of his garment. In verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. That's what they do in the Middle East when there's a funeral. They're all beating their breasts and they're mourning. And he went to them and said, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. How many people do that when there's a word from God and someone believes they've heard from God and they're stepping out and they're doing the thing that God's doing? People just laugh. Get used to it. You get persecuted for your faith in this day and age. You stand up for what you believe, you'll get knocked down left, right, and center. People will laugh at you. Didn't worry Jesus, but did it. After he pulled them all out, took them all, got rid of them all, He took the child's father and mother, and the disciples were with him. They went in where the child was. He took her by the hand, and he said, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. That's nice. He cared about that too. Oh, you give her some food. She's just woken up. She's been dead. She's going to give her something to eat, you know. Another amazing miracle. Look at the three miracles in this story, in this chapter in Mark today. A demon-possessed man that no one could fix. No amount of medication, no amount of this, no amount of that. No one could even chain him and tie him up. When Jesus steps in, he's saved, healed, delivered, transformed. Becomes an evangelist to his people. Look at the second miracle we see in there. The woman that reached out and was healed. 12 years. Spent everything she had trying to get healed. One step of faith, she was healed. The third one there, the girl was actually dead. Jesus raised her. Is anything too hard for our God? You know, just thinking about the culture of our church. For 10 years now, we've been having altar calls every single service. We give people an opportunity to give the heart to Jesus. And for 10 years, almost every service, someone will respond to give the heart to Jesus. And like I said, that's just the beginning of a faith journey, walking in discipleship. And our job is to make disciples in this church. We must continue that. The other part of the culture of our church is we'll always offer an opportunity for prayer. We'll always say, if you need healing in your body, if you need a breakthrough, if you need this, if you need that, don't leave without doing business with God. Come and we'll pray with you. And we've got a prayer team that are available every single service. How many people have come through our church in 10 years and have left without reaching out for the hem of his garment? Have left and ended up like the demoniac that needed a saviour. We must remember as a church that our mission is to be a supernatural people, a people that believe for miracles, believe for an outbreak of the Holy Spirit, believe for revival. And we must remember to be hungry and thirsty. And we must create a culture where it's not just after the service where we see miracles, it's at the church lunch afterwards. If you see someone in need, pray for them there. Tuesday night at the blokes or the Inspire or at the Omega course, or if it be the Wednesday lunchtime ladies group or wherever, let's believe for miracles to happen in people's lives. Not just in our gathering as a church, in our scattering as a church, when we're in our workplaces, in our homes. Let's lay hands on our children. Let's share with our neighbours. Let's be like the demoniac. When we've been transformed, let's go and share the gospel with all the people around us. And I do believe time is short. I do believe Jesus is coming back soon. And like Chantel was singing before about the army that's being raised up, I believe that the church is being raised up like an army. And as the Holy Spirit moves in the body of Christ, all the boats will rise. Just like in a harbour, when all the boats rise, everyone will rise at the same time. And I believe we're going to see that in our church, where we're all raised up to be an army who move in the miraculous, who see demons cast out, who see people healed, who see people raised from the dead. You know, I've got to say, I had a very healing conversation on Friday night. We had a lovely lady over for dinner named Bev Duff Richardson. She's not here this morning. Bev's husband passed away 6 months ago. Roy Duff Richardson, great man of God. He'd been in our church for many years. For those who don't know the whole story, Roy was diagnosed with cancer over 18 months ago now. And we prayed and we fasted and we believed as a church for his healing for that whole 12 months. And then tragically 6 months ago, I got that phone call that you don't want to get, that he had passed away. The night before, Dan Misson, one of the elders of our church, and I had gone to visit him at the hospital. We'd prayed for him, and Dan had even had a vision that he'd been raised up, and we're like, yes, we believe, you know, everyone. We were just in faith believing for his healing. I believe that vision was that he's now raised up and healed in heaven. But you know what? Just because we prayed for him and he wasn't raised from the dead the next day. Doesn't mean I'm going to give up praying for people to be raised from the dead. Doesn't mean because I've prayed for one person who's sick and they don't get healed, I'm not going to stop praying for people to get healed of sickness. We're in a time between the now and the not yet. Right now, Jesus has come into the world and we have the kingdom. The kingdom of God has come. But there is a tension between the perfection that we will see in heaven. And heaven comes to earth. We see miracles. We see it, but not all the time. We don't see 100% of people healed. But it doesn't mean I'm going to give up. I'm praying for people to be healed of sicknesses, raised from the dead, cast demons out. Just because I don't have a 100% success rate, I ain't going to give up. And some of you, you've thought the same. You know what? Oh, I prayed and it didn't work. And oh, I had a try. And oh, I felt like a bit of an idiot when nothing happened. Don't let the devil get in and discourage you. We stand on the Word of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. The same authority that Jesus had on earth, He gave to us. On the weekend, when I visited Coffs Harbour, we had an opportunity to catch up with my family, which was great to visit on the weekend. And thank you so much to Barbara and the team for last Sunday. I heard it was a great service here. Got a chance to preach at a church and we saw three people saved on the Sunday morning at Coffs Harbour. It's fantastic. But the main purpose for my visit last weekend was to go and see my grandpa. Many of you have heard me share about my grandpa before. I'll just be brief as we close. I might ask Chantel to come. We'll have some worship in a moment. But as I went and visited my grandpa, he's 87 years old. He had heart failure about 3 months ago. And when I got the call from my dad that he was in hospital, it wasn't looking good a few months ago, like he was going to die. And I was ready to drop everything and go to Coffs and visit him. Turned out he recovered well and he's home now. But I sat down with my grandpa and I said, a few months ago, Harry, I thought that was it. I thought we were going to lose you. I don't know if I'll be back in Coffs the rest of this year. And I hope and pray that you make it through the year, but my dad tells me that you're really struggling right now and this might be the last time I get to see you. What would you say to one of your relatives if you were in the same situation? For years, I tried to share my faith with him and he would just cut me down time and time again. And I knew he was about to cut me down again, but I want to see him in heaven. Amen. I said, Harry, I know you don't think I should be doing this church thing. I should go and get a real job. I know you've been on my case about it for years. But I just believe that I can share something with you today that's going to help you. I said, Harry, will you give me 2 minutes of your time? Just 2 minutes. Don't butt in. Don't fob me off. Just listen for 2 minutes. Just humour your grandson and give me one more crack at this. He's all right. And I said, I believe that God created you. God knows what you're going through. God understands all the heartache that you've had in your life and that you've had a problem with God, a problem with religion, a problem with the church. God understands that. And all the questions you have, you'll never have the answers to all of those questions on this earth. But I believe that 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you so that your sins could be forgiven. And if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, that is how you'll be saved. And we will be in heaven together. When you die on this earth, you'll go and stand before God and your sins will have been forgiven because you've asked Jesus to wash away your sins. I believe that if you pray and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, you will be saved. And there is no other name to be saved but the name of Jesus. And He says this to me. He says, well, you know, I do pray every night. And I nearly fell on the ground. I said, really? Because all my life He has just done nothing but be negative about God to me. He said, yeah, 12 months ago, your sister gave me the same spiel. And she asked me to pray every night for her and for the family. So this is what I pray. And I'm like, yeah, what are you praying? And this is what he says. All right, whoever's in charge up there, can you help out my wife, my kid, my grandkids and my great-grandkids? And I'll leave the rest up to you. Amen. And I said to him, Harry, I am really touched. That is awesome that you are doing that every night. That really means a lot to me. But Harry, I just want to, one last thing I want to say. It is only through Jesus Christ that you can have the way to the Father in heaven. That's the only way to be saved. It's not whoever's up there. It is only through Jesus Christ. If it's true, and God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, and you're not acknowledging that and you're praying to whoever's up there, it's basically saying, look, I don't care that you sent your only Son, or I don't believe, or it's no big deal to me. Let me tell you, it's a big deal to God that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for you. That is the only way you can be saved. And his eyes welled up. And for the first time I've ever seen him, he was speechless. He couldn't say a word. And then my nan pipes up. She's a pretty strong woman, and I think she has a pretty good relationship with God from our conversations we've had. She said, you know, I pray every night too, Matt. I said, oh, awesome. What are you praying? She said, I pray the Lord's Prayer every night. I said, well, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to pray, Nan. And what's the key in there in relation to this discussion? We pray and we say, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's what I'm talking about, Nan. That's what I'm talking about, Pa. Jesus can forgive you of your sins. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. The only perfect man that walked the earth was Jesus. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, that's how you're saved. You could have heard a pin drop. Both of them were... We had that awkward silence for about 5 seconds, and I just let the Holy Spirit do his work in their hearts right then and there. Then the kids came in and we had another coffee and things went on from there. But I drove away from that day with tears in my eyes thinking, you know what? Lord, it's up to you now. I've given it my best. I've told them for years. I've tried. I don't know if how, you know, I prayed for their healing and everything, and I believe the Lord's going to do an amazing work in their hearts. But you know what? I felt the Lord say to me, well done for giving it your best shot. Well done for having a go. Well done for putting it out there, for continuing amidst the persecution, amidst the negativity, amidst all the threats and the this and the that. I just felt the Lord say, well done for having a go. And I just want to just cry out to you today, as a brother in the Lord, as a pastor, as an evangelist, who is in your life that needs to hear that message? Bring them here on a Sunday. Call me. I'll go and meet with them and have a coffee with them. I'll tell them face to face the gospel if you don't feel adequate to do it yourself. Ask the Lord to give you the words to speak and share the gospel with them. I want all of my friends and family to be in heaven with me one day. And I just feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit. The time is short. We're in the last of the last days. Jesus could return in our lifetime. And we want every person we know to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and to have the opportunity to either accept or reject Christ. Why don't we stand to our feet and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, reading through these miracles today of Jesus delivering someone of evil spirits, healing the woman that was bleeding, raising the young girl from the dead. We know you are a miracle-working God, and you've called us to be a people who walk in the supernatural, who do the same miracles in every part of our life, Lord God. May we be known as a people of faith. May we be known as a people who share your good news, Lord Jesus, in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, wherever we go. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us today to be your hands and feet to this city, to our friends, to our family. Lead us, Lord Jesus, with the gospel. I pray that this church will see an increase in salvations, an increase in healings, an increase in deliverances, an increase in the prophetic, an increase in dead raising, Lord God, an increase in every miracle, Lord God. May we be known as a miracle church, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us afresh today to go and do the works you've called us to. with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, if you don't know that you're born again, that you have a place in heaven, if you want to make sure of that, you can pray a prayer and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins today. If you want to do that right now with every eye closed, just slip up your hand and say, yes, God, I give my heart to you today. Is there anyone here today? Just put your hand up. Say, yes, Jesus. Yeah, I see that, sweetheart. That's good. Is there anyone else? Yeah, mate, that's good. There's two hands here. Is there anyone else? Yeah, mate, good on you, buddy. I see that. That is awesome. Is there anyone else? I'll give you one more chance. Right now, slip up your hand if that's you. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Make me born again. I turn from my wicked ways. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give my whole life to you. I will be a disciple of Jesus Christ from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray you just fill every person with your Holy Spirit right now. For those who've made that commitment to you, Lord Jesus, would you come and touch them right now? And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs healing, that needs a breakthrough, that needs deliverance, may they reach out and touch the hem of your garment today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you do want some prayer as we close the service today, just come out the front, get on your knees, sit on the chair, stand at the front, and I'll invite the prayer team to come. We'd love to pray with you today. Dennis, would you like to share something, mate? I love it when Dennis has got something to share.
I'm sorry I have to come up here sometimes because I feel...